Hello, and welcome to Bluesy Book Reports, a simple podcast where we revisit childhood classics while drinking copious amounts of alcohol. We're your hosts, Beth.
And Sam.
And this month, we're reporting on the Transaal Saga by Gary Paulson, first published
by Paul Garrison.
In all fairness, we did do a shot before this. So,
a poetry shot.
Yeah.
It's a shot fine. Short.
A shot short. So anyway, it was made in 1998, which I happened to be a junior in high school. So.
Oh, no, I was
okay,
not.
Okay, you didn't need to make that face.
Oh, no, no. I was thinking about when I read it, which was actually not long after this book was released.
Okay. Yeah. When did you first get exposed to this?
I think I was in my brother. There was like something, if you did something good, you got to pick a book. And my brother picked this book.
Okay.
And I was bored around the house one summer and just decided, picked it up kind of randomly and had like never, I'd never read things by Gary Paulson because most of them are like Hatchet. And it's like, are you
the
a
giver?
Boy? No, that's some, that's, okay, I can't think of
that's
the name.
That's Lois something.
Yeah, Lois.
Not Lois.
Lowry?
Sure.
I don't know.
Okay.
But, I like just kind of picked up most of the books that he wrote were like about like boy explorers.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I read Swiss Family Robinson. Not my jam, not my vibe.
Yeah.
I picked it up and actually freaking loved it.
Okay. So. Well, we're going to see if it holds up.
Yes.
But before we get into the book, we're going to get into the drinks because you made two delicious looking cocktails. They're beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you put the work in,
I have to say.
Yeah.
And I think it paid off.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, we'll see. So we got two drinks tonight. We're going to start with the simplest one. We have a classic rum and coke or a Cuba Libre.
Which I've never had before.
Which blows. We were talking about this earlier. This was like the first drink that I ordered at a bar by myself. And I ordered it as a Coke and rum. And the bartender was like, honey, no.
No, that's not.
You say the booze first.
Yeah. So anybody that's a novice drinker out there, there's your tidbit for the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You use the fancy Coke, too.
I did. I used the Mexican Coke with the real sugar cane.
It's not too bad.
I love a rum and Coke.
It's kind of refreshing. Like, I could do this on like a sunny summer night.
I don't know if it counts as a tiki cocktail, but I'd put it up there with like things that are good when it's hot.
Yeah.
It's a nice summer one.
Yeah. There's definitely, because I'm not a big drinker and I don't like the taste of alcohol, there's definitely an alcohol taste to it, but it's it's not overpowering.
No. Ooh. I do love a rum and coke.
Okay. That was good.
Yeah. This one is like this and A Dark and Stormy are like, make me think of like being at Kev's family's cottage and just like what you drink on a dock.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
I just think a rum and coke is like such a classic. And I only think that because I've seen it in movies, like when I growing up was like, oh, give me a rum and coke. And I'm like, okay.
Well, it's quick. It's easy. Most places have it. It's dirt cheap. So, you can get this almost anywhere. There's nothing exotic about it.
I just have like flashes of the Jersey Shore kids with like little red straws in the
and like a red Solo cup.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah. Look at it, Guido's drinking. They probably weren't drinking rum and cokes, but whatever.
I think they were drinking like vodka, like
just vodka,
Red Bull vodkas.
They're just like Four Loko.
No, I think this is a little bit kind of that same vibe, right? It's caffeinated, it's boozy, it's good.
I also don't really ever drink caffeine, so we're gonna. This might be a fun mix tonight. Who knows? Who knows what will happen?
All right.
Okay, but this next drink is literally beautiful. I just think it's so pretty.
So we'll talk about that. You know, there's all sorts of spoilers, but the reason we did the rum and coke is because Coke plays a very pivotal plot point in this book.
Yes,
or at least a Coca-Cola glass. And this one is because, you know, in this land, there's all these little monkey creatures and they throw these little nuts. So I wanted kind of a nutty cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a classic Mai Tai. And you might think, okay, why is there nuts in a classic tiki drink? But it's because you use orgeat, which is a syrup made out of toasted almonds.
Ooh.
So that gives it some of the sweetness.
Wait, and I just have to brag on Sam because she made her own dehydrated lime wedges.
Yeah, I worked from home today. So, I mean, I basically just started them in the toaster oven and then I have a dehydrate function on my toaster oven. So
I guess they're not wedges, they're slices, but they're so freaking cute.
Yeah, check it out
on the Instagrams.
On the Instas or the TikTokies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. I like it.
So good.
It's really sour. I love sour.
But it's like not too, I don't know, the face you're making is implying that it might be too tart.
I mean, it's hitting.
Do you think it's too tart?
No, I like it.
Oh, I love it.
I'm always looking for the ultimate, like, tartest lemon like thing ever. So yeah, it's good.
It's balanced. I could drink that all day. Mm-hmm. Like a Mai Tai is like too easy to go down.
I think what I need with this though, I need a little bubble. Which I know is not like the normal way to do it, but I always like to have just a smidge of carbonation because for whatever it help for whatever reason, you know what would be great in this is Prosecco.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. When you start using the booze as the mixer in the other booze.
Yeah, but I really like it.
Oh, man. And I think it's got the sweetness of like that. The orgeat is like very sweet.
Yeah.
But it like it gives it like a warm undertone.
I want this with dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's so refreshing. It'd be so good with tacos. Mm. Maybe. I don't know. I got tacos on the brain.
Or like a kebab. Mm. Yeah. I love Mai Tai. This is my friend it's Deb's good. Favorite cocktail.
Oh, yummy.
I haven't made them in a long time. So ooh, this was well, nice.
Just going to say, I've had a third of mine and Sam's going to be Liddy McTitty in about 5 seconds.
I am not.
Actually, like
I'm back to eating carbs. I'm back to being normal.
I just have no tolerance typically. So it's like it will hit me like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to want to hug. And then I'm going to want to go lay down.
That's fine. I'll call Kevin and we will escort ourselves out. Like, we'll clean up the kitchen and we'll go.
So this book, I read this book a while ago.
Yeah.
And my brain's a little fuzzy on it.
That's my fault.
But I have feelings about it and I have some things. First off, it is a very dude book in many respects as far as like the target market.
I think that's generally true of his books, which is why I didn't read them.
Yeah. It feels like a male author writing for a young male audience.
Yeah, for young boys. Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah. So like I didn't connect that way, but I did love the fact because this is like an adventure story with sci-fi elements. Yes. And I love sci-fi. Like I'm about that life.
Yeah.
Typically, I like to go in the future. And this definitely feels like it goes in the past because it's like very
primitive the people, but there's like different levels.
There's
like,
different, yes.
There's different. We can talk about that, but
it reminds me. There's a movie, not to go too down a rabbit hole, and I think it was called The Time Traveler or something like that. It came out in the 2000s, and it was this guy that built a time machine, and he like goes forward a bunch of years, and like you see all this cool technology. I'm like, oh, I'm about this, and then he like, I don't know, he's looking at some stupid girl on a locket and like gets knocked out and he just like lets the machine go for too long and it's like civilization ends and now they're back to like, you know, people that are living on the land. There's no technology, right. All of that. And I was like, not what I wanted. I wanted high tech, future, interesting, that.
Beep boop, beep boops.
Beep boop, beep boops. Like what is the technology? I don't want the moon to explode and for us to now just be like in the plains.
Back in the dark ages.
Yeah, like with just like... with like problems, interpersonal problems. Okay. I was here for the tech. So anyway, this book starts off as a doozy.
Yeah. Because
we have this young boy named Mark.
Mark, who is like traipsing through the desert.
At 13.
That kills me.
I was like, I had to check and see when this book, I was like, this book must have been written in like the 70s. Nobody's letting their kid just go out. 1998, you're just letting your kid go into the wilderness.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's a smart kid, but wow.
It just seemed like he was like kind of poorly prepared because they said his parents had given him a week to get across this like missile range. And then but the previous thing that he had done was like a 2 or 3 day trip with people. And then they were like, next steps a week
by yourself.
I don't know much about hiking. I'm a very there's like an old meme that says I'm outdoorsy and that I like getting drunk on patios. That's exactly my vibe. Mm-hmm. But I think this isn't it.
No, this is not it. He's just like hiking in these mountains and all of a sudden he like, I can't remember if he slipped and fell or something, but he gets bit by a snake.
Yeah, he's trying to get like up to a boulder.
Yeah.
And a snake is there and is about to bite him. And then as he's about to get bitten by this poisonous snake, not a steak.
That would be interesting though. A poisonous steak.
He gets like sort of abducted by this blue light.
Yeah. Transported to this world that has like orange overtones.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes it very well, honestly. Like if I got transported to a different world and was like, oh, I have no way of returning home, I think I'd be a little bit more. I mean, I know he's freaked out, but I would have been like freaked out. Like,
well, so he like, I think he does take it in stride, but I also think there's like nothing else to do, right?
Mm,
It's like, what are you going to do? You got to find something to eat. And he's supposedly been trained in all this survivalism. Yeah. Find something to eat, find shelter, find water.
But he does really well.
Yeah, yeah.
I was really impressed. Like, honestly, like, I don't know what's gotten into me, but I'm going to be taking a survival class at the REI to learn.
I thought you just wanted a jacket there.
I did, but then I like got there and I'm like, I think this might be my new personality. Like maybe I'm survival mode. And so like there's a guy coming that wrote a book and he can teach you how to live off the land.
No. Do you know what my like philosophy on this was?
What?
Okay, so I watched Doomsday Preppers a lot when I was in graduate school. And before that, I was like, we should be prepared.
Yeah.
And because we were in earthquake country, you know, I was like, I had my little water tabs in my office in case we had it.
Oh, jeez.
Well, because
what's a water tab?
Oh, it's like a little iodine pill to filter your water or to clean your water in case you like, because I was, you know, like, if there's an earthquake and we need water, yeah. Who knows? So one of my grad school colleagues joked that we were going to get like a 3 and they were going to find me out like filtering water and like cooking the turtles out of the turtle pond. Being like, all right, kids, let's go. We're doing it. I watched a lot of Doomsday Preppers, and before that I was super pro. And then after that I was like, I don't want to survive if I have to survive next to these people.
No. And there's a level of survival, right? Like,
yeah.
I think if I was transported to clearly what I thought was an alien world.
Yeah.
I'd probably like, okay, let's go for this ride. If it is like the apocalypse and like
the road,
like road warrior type of stuff, I'm taking myself out probably because I know what's probably going to happen to me as a woman and a woman of color. Like, no, thank you. No, thank you.
Wait, that's the realism they don't really cover in those films.
Yeah, or preppers.
Furiosa wasn't really dealing with. Well, that, I mean, she kind of was.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for the new movie anyway. Okay, so Mark is like doing his thing. He's like living in this weird jungle.
Yes.
He comes across these cute little monkey things.
The monkey bears.
Monkey bears.
Yeah, and they like pelt him with little nuts.
Yeah, which he realizes he can eat and he's very excited about.
But one of the little monkey bears likes him.
Willie. Isn't his name Willie? Yeah. I just thought that was so cute.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Even in the worst of times, we find, you know, humans try to find connection to animals.
Yeah. Well, having a companion is good. Plus, he like one of the things with the little nuts is that everything is like he's like, it tastes like coconut. All of our drinks are coconutty.
That's, look at you.
I know.
Tying it all together.
Rummy, coconutty.
One of the things that I thought was interesting is that like the way this author wrote, the chapters are tiny. Like sometimes they're just like 2 pages. There's 55 chapters, but they're really short.
Yes.
And I just so happen, some kid named Mark wrote in mine. I think his name was Mark. I don't know. But he did like a line, like every single chapter, he does a synopsis like of 1 to 2 lines in his like 6th grade or 7th grade handwriting. And I'm about that life. I literally like looked for him on Google because he has a very unique name. I'm not going to say it because Avi.
You said you might have found him on LinkedIn.
I think I found him on LinkedIn. And then I think I found his YouTube channel, but he doesn't have any like videos.
He's
like your age. So he's not a little baby.
He was reading it with me when I was
But I just feel weird about, hey man, I got your book. Thank you for the big ups for, you know, writing the summaries out. But his summaries were so cute.
The Traitsel Saga.
Yeah. Literally, like, so the first few chapters are really just Mark surviving.
Yeah.
And these are some of his little things. Mark fell in light. Yep. Obstacles. Mark meeting monkey bears, eating. Next one, sleeping, thinking of food, gathering food. And then Mark has a little incident where he like falls out of a tree and like breaks some ribs or something. And then he's like, Mark having pain and broken ribs, Mark ribs healing. And so really like the first little bit is really just Mark surviving and kind of learning his circumstance, learning his surroundings, figuring out the wildlife and stuff, which I think that would be the most terrifying thing about being in a foreign land is like what can kill you, especially food wise.
Yeah. No, I think that is, I had that same thought when I was reading this was like, what do I put in my mouth? Mm-hmm. Like, what am I willing to like take a bet that I won't shit myself for a week or it will absolutely kill me the first time I eat it? You know, they talk about, too, how different all the nature is compared to what he's used to. So while he does have survival skills, they're not necessarily tuned to this world.
Yeah.
And so he's just really kind of, like, taking it day by day. But he does a lot of, like, observing, right? Mm-hmm. He observes the monkey bears and sees what they eat. Mm-hmm. He observes how they open the little nut things. And then he also, this is, like, I think also the first point where the food part, while he's like a little bit hungry and tired of eating bugs, the food part's not really the dangerous part. There's like a creature in the woods that's starting to like stalk him, sort
of. My friend calls it the howling thing.
Yeah, I think that's what Mark of the book
calls it. I think maybe my guy's name was Toby.
Okay, I'm going to go Toby.
Because Toby's such a great name. So anyway, Mark's living his life. There's also these weird buffalo things, too, that are like kind of terrifying and will charge.
It reminded me of like a boar. Because you know like that about boars, right? Boars
they're terrifying.
And they're like half blind.
They're half blind,
and but they are like aggressive and mean. It's sort of hippos are the same way. They're like they can't see very well.
Hippos are so cute.
They're like really deadly.
I like to watch the TikToks where like people are like on a river and there's like a hippo chasing them, and it's the most terrifying thing ever. And I'm just like, they're so cute to be so dangerous. Like I think it's the San Diego Zoo has a really good TikTok, and they feed their hippos. And it's so cute, but they're like just crushing these melons and stuff. But obviously like I couldn't touch it, but part of me wants to.
The one where the hippo poops everywhere?
I don't know. I like it when they poop, though, because it like wags its tail and it just goes. It's so funny.
It's like a propeller.
Yeah. So
I do, too. I like that, too.
I don't know. I love hippos. So sooner or later, he realizes there's a presence, not just the howler, but also...
Yeah, he finds arrows. Yeah, so there's like some semblance of society or people, or at least something that like is recognizable as another human type object, humanoid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he calls them the arrow people, which is very original.
Well, listen.
You go with what you got.
He's busy. He has to survive. He has to crack all D's nuts. Like, jeez, give the guy a break.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think one of the things I like too is like, also like I usually don't finish the drinks, and I finished one. Sam, I feel so happy right now.
I think I'm very happy because we found two drinks you like.
I don't know what's going on, but
Mai Tais are good.
They're so good.
The rum and Coke is delicious.
But I'm already having a hard time, so I'm just letting you know.
I got you, boo. I got you. I've read this book so many times.
Yeah. So basically, like, the howling thing is like stalking him a little bit.
Yeah. And the arrow people, he's aware of their presence.
Yeah. And then eventually, I don't know what happens first, if he kills the howling thing before he like actually interacts with the arrow people.
No, he stumbles upon the howling thing attacking one of the people.
Oh, that's right, Lita.
Lita.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lita Ford.
Yes. And like, she's like, does she climb a tree or something? She gets away. She's hiding.
I think she disappears. She sort of hobbles off.
Yeah,
because she's injured. Kills the howling thing, and he takes its like teeth as like
a trophy to wear around his neck. Which
do you know how hard it is to pull teeth
out
of a skull?
I feel like that's a lot.
I did it once out of a goat because I wanted to cast them in silver and then mail them to my friend.
My gosh.
The goat wasn't alive, but anywho.
But even so, it's like bone.
It's hard. Yeah,
and without the right tools.
There was a lot of yanking. Think about how hard it is to get your own, like an extraction on your own.
No, I watched this movie once and I'm already like, listen, I've never been this tipsy ever on the podcast.
Well, this is...
So I'm just warning you.
I'm running this one tonight, guys.
I watched this movie when I was, I don't know, 14, called The Dentist.
Oh, no.
And it's about the psychotic dentist, and he thinks his wife is cheating on him with the pool boy.
Uh-huh.
And he ends up like pulling out all of her teeth, and it was very traumatic to watch. Anyway, that's what I think about when I think about pulling out teeth
is difficult. So, yeah, he like takes the teeth... But then he goes, because he knows that this human-type person or this humanoid is around. Mm-hmm. And so he goes on a hunt at that point. He says, okay, they went towards these mountains.
Yeah.
He finally says, I'm going to get out of the jungle and I'm going to try to find civilization.
Is this where he asks Willie if he wants to go for the ride? He wants to come with him and he hangs out on his shoulder?
Yeah.
So cute.
I think so.
Yeah. And then he like stumbles upon their village and then like he's like kind of observing them, and then they realize obviously they're going to know he's there.
Yeah. I think at some point like Lita finds him in the woods and he kind of puts it together because she also is, she's got a limp at this point. And so he puts it together that she's the one that potentially was attacked by the howling thing.
Yeah.
And so at some point, I think they're at the watering hole, and he tries to like make some sort of contact with her. And she kind of like runs off, and then the men of the village come and are quite hostile to him. But then she explains, she sort of defends him. Oh, he killed the howling thing.
And then like they see the tooth and they're like, oh my gosh, you're a strong warrior.
An official. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then my memory recalls, like they were going to go on a hunt. He's like, I don't want to be like staying back. I'm going to go on the hunt. Yes. And then like, it ends up that they go and like pillage another.
Yeah, it's not a hunt at all. He's like thinks it's gonna be like a hunt for food or something, but it's really a raid on a neighboring village.
Yeah, and so he goes really sad.
Yeah, so he realizes what's happening and kind of has a panic at that point and says like, oh no, because keep in mind at this point, you know, he does age through the book, but he's like 13, 14 at this point,
he's a baby,
and which. In sort of a, like a tribal society might be considered an
no, but he's from US adult. Of A.
Exactly. So
in 1998.
Exactly. So in our world, he would absolutely be a child, but in their world, they're like, oh yeah, he's an able-bodied man.
Come
and
help.
So he like watches one of the people get during this raid get like murdered or get like
can
killed.
You, like not can you imagine, but like how traumatic to go from like like modern, just like all your needs met to like, oh no, we're going back in time where it's like you're fighting for basic resources.
Yeah. Well, and they even imply it too. I think there's like some characterization of Mark that's like, he's a little chunky and he's a little bit like, he's a little soft, you know? He's not like he's not a burly 13-year-old. He's not a 13-year-old off the farm. He's he's a suburban city kid.
Yeah.
Who like his parents thought was fine to let him walk across this missile range.
So as my memory holds,
basically
like all that happens, he's kind of accepted by the group. I think the other thing that's, I have 2 points. Number one, the language stuff. How hard would that be to learn a language where you have no common anything?
No.
Wild.
100%. I like also had the same thought while reading this every time I've read this book. It's like, that's the most like terrifying difficult part for me is that like he can't really communicate at this point.
Anything.
Yeah. And so he starts learning words and he like he sort of gets to a point and you know they do a good job in this where they like try to talk about it or that he like talks in the like kind of stilted way you would be able to talk.
Yeah.
But yeah, he kind of figures out Lita and
they go back and forth but then that town gets raided.
Yeah, so you know, the circle of life.
Heck yeah.
Raid and, well, and be raid.
Heck yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, deal with it, little village.
You raided someone else. Bitches.
Yeah, bitches.
Sorry.
Raiders of the Lost
Ark. I have not been this intoxicated for probably 5 years.
Since like we went that one time to Twigs and got lemon drop martinis for your birthday.
Yeah, that's probably, and I wasn't as that intoxicated as I am now. I just need to say that because I don't know what's going to spew from these bowels. Not bowels. Jowls.
I hope not the bowels.
Jowls.
The jowls are fine. The bowels
are not.
Bad. That's the hippo.
That's the hippo.
That's the hippo.
Yeah, but they get raided and then they get enslaved.
They get, yes. And so they're on this like march, right? And Lita hurts her foot.
Yeah.
And he's like so brave and he tries to defend his friend Lita because she's defended him before. And all of a sudden, he cuts her foot and he says like to the warriors like that have raided him that they cannot kill her.
Yeah.
I think one of the cool things about this is you kind of start to see the levels of like technological development how that's like giving this other group, which is actually more technologically advanced, the edge over this like,
more primitive group.
Primitive village that Lita and Mark belong to.
Something like that. But so Mark becomes a slave, Lita becomes a slave, and they get separated. They get in different houses.
Yes.
And Mark's put to work. She's put to work. And Mark's always like, I got to escape and find that blue light because I need to get back to like.
Well, he's also being sassed and like kind of harassed by the like lady in the. He gets put because he defends the people. The people think he's strong. So he gets put in the like village chieftain's house, and the village chieftain's daughter, Megan.
It's like Megan, but
with two A's.
Megan.
Megan the Stalin.
Megan the. Which yes, okay.
Wop. is she kind of like harasses him?
Yeah.
She like heckles him and kind of like makes him do bitch work just to be an asshole to him.
Did they speak a different language than Lita? I feel like there's a different dialect or something happening because he had to learn more stuff.
He did. And there's like a moment where they can't communicate and then it gets a little bit better. There's like a...
But homie tries to escape once, fails.
Yes.
Second time he tries to escape, winning. But...
realizes that the cannibal tribe or whatever is coming. The other raiders, I can't remember their
names. Which I don't want to judge anybody, but I'm a little terrified of cannibalism.
Yeah, I am too.
I mean, and I'm being terrified like in a non-real way because obviously it's not going to happen in my day-to-day life. But if something were to go wrong and people were like, hey, let's...
Do you know there are several... I mean, obviously in American history, there are several prominent cannibals, right? The Donner Party was a sad example of people who were doing it for survival.
That's very different.
But there was also a guy in Colorado named Alfred Packard.
And he was a flesh eater?
He was indeed a flesh eater. And it's unclear. He said it was for survival, but it might not have been. But do you know that the student union grill at CU Boulder was called the Alfred Packard
That's
Grill?
That's really inappropriate.
I think it's still called that.
That's so inappropriate.
Yeah, CU Boulder, Alfred Packard Grill.
I mean, it's amazing what... I mean, we're... if it's that between that and death, like, okay, game on. But I'm not a big fan of, like... serial killers just like, hey, I want to eat a liver.
Or wasn't there an actor that like Army
Hammer? Allegedly he had some things. Yeah. Ugh. He has a rep for something.
For chomping.
So anyway, Mark
He goes back and helps.
Yeah, he goes back and he like, so basically like all the dudes were gone like because it was harvest time. And so all the warriors were out. And so he goes back and he like is already freaked out that they're going to kill him before he even has a chance to tell him. But he tells him what's going on. They're raising alarm bells and they're like, hey, dude, can you ride a horse or whatever the horse equivalent was there? Because like, it wasn't a horse.
Buffalo thing.
Yeah. And he like was going out blowing this horn to try and get the warriors in.
Yeah. So
then they all came back and were able to not have the... cannibals.
The Rajas, he was able to defend the village.
Yeah.
And so this like changes the whole course for Mark, right? Yeah,
because
like,
now he's hot shit.
stud mode. Yeah, so he like he goes from they like reward him basically. Yeah. At this point they say like, okay, you officially don't have to be a slave anymore, you obviously have shown your like loyalty to the village,
you get land and a pony,
a house, and you can take a wife when you're old enough if you want.
Yeah,
you know, you
so
can,
he's
like,
kind of has it made.
He does. So I think one thing too that they like, so the people that he's like talking to, all the tribe people, they mostly look like him, but they have like an extra eyelid, and so that's like the big discerning feature between him. They have like a like an extra like fold in their eyelid or something. There is a feature.
Something's different. Yeah
So
well, and at one point too he was like, this is not about features, but at one point he's like, hey Lita, we can bounce now, and she's like, I'm staying because my house is gone.
Yeah, like where am I gonna go? Yeah, my village is gone.
My family's here. So he's like, okay. So he's kind of like in there.
Yeah.
And then we hear about this other dude, the douche.
I think
his name was Merkon.
Yeah, the Merkon.
The Merkon. And he's like not all powerful.
He's sort of the ruler. He's the ruler. Like, there are all unified. These little like tribes, right, that used to war each other, and now they are like, they're unified under the Merkon.
Yeah. And he hears wind of this kid, and it's like they're going to do this special games that they participate in to prove their manhood or something.
Some of it is like to reward or to like celebrate the like beating of the Rajas, right? Or the fact that like, and to celebrate Mark, like Mark is a guest of honor in this, right? And so he has to like participate in these games and this feast, and he's made an official member of the like group of the Tsuk at this point. And so he goes and like he's presented, like Megan makes him like fancy like armor, and
it's really cool.
Yeah,
he's really accepted into the community.
And Megan's no longer like beating him into a pulp. She's like kind of
she's flirting with him.
She likes him,
but he's on his head a little bit. He's still thinking about this blue light,
right?
And he gets wind that there was like a shaman or somebody. Yeah. Man of wisdom that has some information, and so he is going to go out. And there's this other dude that's been helping him to like learn how to fight and stuff. Sarbo. Yes. And so the head honcho guy is like, hey, come with me. And he sends his warriors out ahead of him. And then Mark's like, hey, I'm going to bring a homie. And they're like, why? And he's like, because. And they head out too.
He gets a little bit suspicious, right? Because
he has bad vibes.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. The Murkon seems like really weird. There's something like off about him. There's something familiar but off about him. And so he like kind of is a bit suspicious, but Sarbo's like, no, let's go along with it. Let's go. And then they're finally like, they're like attacked, right? Yeah. While they're on the road, they're supposedly going to find the shaman.
Yeah.
But they end up being attacked.
Yeah.
And so they end up getting separated from the Murkon
group. And enslaved
group.
Again too, right? A little bit. It says that in my notes.
They end up in that island.
They get enslaved by another tribe. And then Mark has to like get uncaptured again or something.
No, that's in the island. So they go, they go to the land to find the guy. And Sarbo has like a friend who's like a smuggler, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
On this like weird island. They're sort of chased to this island. And Sarbo's like, nobody will like chase us here because it's like this island of like, you know, it's basically Mos Eisley. It's like just smugglers and stuff and like criminals. And then they go and they meet his friend. But it turns out his friend has like a deal.
Yeah, he double crossed.
He goes to double cross him. But the person who, the little boy who works for the friend,
it's like,
says, no, you need to get out of here because everybody here knows who you are. Mm-hmm. They know the Murkon's looking for you. Mm-hmm. You need to go.
And then plot twist.
Plot twist.
What happens?
Well, so after this point, they go back. They go back to the village, right? Mm-hmm. And they say, okay, he's like, I'm just going to hunker down. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to chill. Mm-hmm. And everybody's so happy to see him, especially Megan, because she's obviously got the hots for him. And so they, at one point, they like give him a gift. Mm-hmm. And the gift is a piece of Pyrex glassware and Coca-Cola glassware.
Yeah.
So he realizes that this is like not this other planet. He thinks he's like on this other planet. But no, he's just on Earth.
Yeah.
Way later.
Yeah.
And so he like starts finding out through like oral stories and things like that, that there is this disease that has a plague that has wiped out and mutated the people of Earth. And that's how they end up being in this place.
There's also a little bit of nuclear war. That's why it looks different.
Yeah, there's a nuclear war. Yeah.
That's why the terrain looks different.
Yeah.
I think that this is so fascinating.
Yes.
Very Planet of the Apes.
So I hadn't watched Planet of the Apes but when I had read this book, which I think most kids maybe have not watched Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, because it's
when
they like old. Book. Well, and we're talking vintage, not the remake. Not Marky Mark version. We're talking, is it Charlton Heston?
Yes.
Yeah, the OG. Old version.
So I remember reading this as a kid and being like, it's like the same, spoiler alert, it's the same shock that went through my body when Cedric Diggory died.
Oh,
it was like,
it was a big,
oh my God.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it as a kid. I was like, what?
I freaking love a twist in a book.
Yeah.
I was shocked too.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, oh, snap.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
you don't see it coming.
You don't see it coming because the terrain is different.
Yeah,
and there's different animals and
different colors.
Things. Yeah.
No, I think I think this is one of the better done twists in a book. Like, I think Gary Paulsen does an incredible job at doing the twist in this book.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's super shocking. And so all of a sudden he realizes he's on Earth. Things are not what they seem. There's been this plague or something. Something's gone wrong and he needs to figure it out. And then not only that, they start having like attacks on the village, basically. They get attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And so he realizes, okay, this is not going to end. The Murkon's behind all this.
But I thought he got a confrontation and killed the Murkon, and then the Murkon's son decides to seek revenge.
That's true. But he goes back, fights the Murkon.
And then comes back.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm going to marry Megan.
Well, so, okay. So this part, I hit this part. So if you guys don't know, you probably don't unless you're my close friend or, you know, my sister-in-law. I've read a lot of romanticy lately,
a
lot of fantasy romance. This is the origin.
Oh, that's
this
where it got you.
This is the start of it.
Yeah.
He comes back and he walks in like a badass and he kisses Megan and like seventh grade me was like, fuck yeah. That's on, what Warrior I King. Want. Yeah. I want this sci-fi fantasy thing that turns into a romance and they're going to get married and they're going to love each other.
I love that for you.
I think this is it. This is the origin story.
This is the seed that now has grown into fairy porn.
You're okay. Okay. Sorry. Sometimes it's dragon porn, but it's okay.
I just saw one that Shrek smut, and I'm like, it's like, come meet me in the swamp.
No, Shrek
with
smut.
a ripped guy that's dyed green.
Okay, if anybody knows the meme Shrek is love, Shrek is life, you know that Shrek smut has predated this. And that goes to you, Scott, because you were the one that first showed me Shrek is love, Shrek is life.
Like, I'm not real deep into the fan fiction world or the like self-published
not on an archive of our own.
But wow.
So, wow. There's some good shit out there.
I'm sure. I think I need to get involved.
Yeah.
I think I downloaded, like, they have these days that are like free books on Prime for your Kindle. And there are a lot of them are smutty. And I got one that was like Cowboy Down or something.
Hell yeah.
And I started reading it. I'm like, no.
No?
I need something different. So we'll see.
Try the romanticy.
I'll try it.
It's like there's like some guy, he's like a fairy. He's got like rippling pectorals and he's like very mysterious.
But see, that to me is not hot. I want a rippling beer belly that just jiggles in the sunlight.
Okay. We had this discussion the other day about
the female gaze.
No. It was about which people we found hot in a very specific situation. And I said that the ones that my friend said were hot were too hard.
Yeah.
And not in the ways I wanted.
Soft boys.
Yeah. I want like...
I want Dan Connor. That's who I want.
Like, wait, Full House?
No.
Oh.
Roseanne.
Oh, God.
Dan Connor.
Okay.
Loyal.
No,
trustworthy.
No. John Goodman's hot, like secret hot.
Like 80s John Goodman was fire.
You could get it.
I mean,
it.
Now he's a little bit older. Like he's like too much dad.
No.
But like, no, because he's like, but like Dan Connor, like Roseanne in his prime in like the 80s. Yes, sir. Put that baseball cap on. Yes, sir. Gotta punch out Jackie's boyfriend for being abusive. Yes, sir. I'm
100% with you on this.
Yeah.
That's
my new dating profile, searching for Dan Connor. That's all I want. Like, I freaking love a beer belly.
Yeah.
I freaking love a little bit of stubble and just like.
Yes. Not perfect.
Like,
if you're
perfect,
too ripped, I'm like looking at myself being like,
ah. Like, I don't want that. I don't want it. First of all,
also,
that's too hard.
Yeah.
I want something soft and squishy to like get into.
Did you ever see the SNL skit about big
boys?
Oh
my gosh.
Love
I
it.
Need a big boy.
Boy.
Yeah,
big boy.
I freaking love
steaks
that.
Steaks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am kind of with you on this one. I want
I'm
like a real.
It.
I want a real. I want a
I want
real,
a real
boy.
Love with a real
yeah,
man.
Yeah. When guys
that
say,
has a
I want
gut.
I want a real woman. I want a real man.
I want a real man. With a drill.
You think John Goodman knows what to do?
With a drill? Not John Goodman. Dan Connor.
Dan Connor does.
Dan
He's
Connor
from the Midwest.
Does.
He knows.
And he was a contractor. He
yeah,
was,
sure
he was
he
laying
know.
Drywall. So it's like, I'm here for it.
You can lay drywall. Like, you can lay the pipe.
Yeah. I want Dan Connor smut. That's what I want. Where's that fan fiction?
You know. Okay.
Somebody
I'm looking
has
on
it.
Archive of our own.
I'm, sure
I'm going to send
has.
You Roseanne. Like fanfic.
Oh God, I don't want Roseanne.
No,
want
but
Dan
it's yeah. No. But
yeah,
it's gonna it's gonna be with Roseanne because he's loyal.
He's loyal. Yeah, yeah.
So get ready. It's gonna be Roseanne.
I can. I got this.
Just
okay.
Ignore it.
So
it'll be with Aunt Jackie, maybe.
Back to this. Ew. Back to this book. So Mark is kind of like cool with just like, okay, this is my life now. I'm gonna marry this girl. Blah
yeah,
blah.
Yeah. He's like, I'm in love with Megan. We're gonna start a little farm. It's gonna be great.
But then shit goes down and things are getting attacked because. That dude's son is coming after
and
him.
And is apparently more vicious than
which,
the original that dude. Which
that dude
is,
was from
yes.
Mark's
so this
era.
Is the this is the thing. He notices that the guy's eyes are like the same as his.
Yeah.
That they don't have the extra eyelid.
Yeah.
And then the Merkin like has like a full I think I wrote syndrome from like The Incredibles.
Yeah.
He has like a full evil like monologue where he's like, I was from this land and I rule and nobody you can't take this from
it's
me.
So lame.
And like you carry the virus. And
it reminds me of like the dudes like in movies that are like apocalyptic movies that were totally lame in real life. Mm-hmm. Like The Postman with starring Kevin Costner. What?
Honestly, a very pivotal movie in my childhood. Fucking loved it. Anyway, keep going.
It was so good. Nice Tom Petty here. There would be celebrities. But there's like one guy and he's like such a loser, but in the new world because he has no morals or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's scrupulous. I don't know if that's a word.
Unscrupulous.
Unscrupulous. He like takes over. And I was just like, it just reminds me of that vibe of like somebody that in real life had no power, no status, like felt underappreciated, like a red pillar or an incel. And then they just are like, oh my gosh, this is my world now.
Yeah.
And because they have
rule here.
Yeah. And because they just have like, you know, they have a more modern take on things. They know how to like manipulate because they wore like read those books that they should read, like, you know.
He read one Machiavelli's The Prince.
Or what's that one that's like The Art of War or something like that?
By
Power.
Sun Li.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was on Jail Talk and there was people talking about the books you should read and there was a lot of that. Like The Art of War. And
sure.
Yeah. Prison Talk is awesome.
I mean, I think that guy is technically like his, like he's classified as a douche canoe.
Oh, absolutely. And he raised a douche canoe.
Yeah. And he raised a little shitty kid.
Yeah.
Too.
Who went after the guy that killed his dad, which I understand. Very Kill Bill.
Yeah. That's but, more like, fine.
So
fine.
Mark
avenge
flees
the father.
Mark flees into the jungle. He's like headed back towards the jungle and like, there's like a couple different groups. So he murders a bunch of the dudes, but then there's like a scouting group that had gone out.
Well, they were like the criminals. They were the like Flynn Riders of the world. And he like ran into them on the way in and they helped him break into the castle the first time when he went to go kill the Merkin.
Oh, I don't remember.
And then they run into him again and he's like, all right, guys, I'm on the lam now. So just so
you
know.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah.
But there was a scout party that the Moab, I think that was the guy's name. I can't remember. Anyway, the douchebags. Yeah, his son to now. And so he killed a bunch of people and he's like, oh, there's these other guys. And so he's kind of hiding behind a rock. And then all of a sudden, the blue light comes back and like sucks him into modern times at the mall.
Yeah.
At the mall.
Can you imagine? And he's probably wearing like a loincloth and like a furry suit.
It totally took him like, it totally took him like as he was to a mall and he's like lands in a fountain or something and like people are like, what?
He's probably ripped his shit though. I'd be down with it. If you had like a mysterious like jungle man show up and he was like ripped his shit
because he's
people.
A kid. But
I don't know. If you're 16, and he's 16.
Oh yeah. If I was a kid,
yeah. I'm not saying now. No, okay. Now I'd be like, why does that child have so many muscles?
I'd be like, what happened? Why are you dressed like that?
Why
where
does that
did
child
you come
have those
from?
Scars? Yes. No. But I'm saying if you were 16.
I'd be like all about that life. But
yeah, I'd be like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Trauma? Thank you.
I can fix it.
but then it's like, and like, I remember like a little kid sees him and stuff, but I can't imagine even what his parents were thinking. Like, how do you explain like where you were without sounding like, oh, I need to go into like, you know, a facility. I don't think you can.
They really like,
they just kind of like, and he returned.
Paul Garrison really glosses over that.
Yeah. Cause basically that happens. And then it goes to like the epilogue where it's like, Mark is now a doctor.
Well, now he has a reason to live, which is Magan.
He
never got to love.
You don't have to go, and obviously, like that timeline is not going to work now. But he's a doctor that's trying to solve.
But he also
Ebola.
Disappears into the woods every so often, and like tries to find the blue light. That's what I like.
Sweet.
Kind of like try to imagine he's like trying to fix the problem, but at the meantime, if he just finds Magan and they can live together.
But it's like if he fixes the problem, then all this isn't going to happen. I do think it was interesting that they picked Ebola because I do think like the 90s was definitely a time for Ebola.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember we used to joke like, okay, that sounds awful. Like, I need to get my mic closer to my mouth. Right, Beth? That's what that hand means.
Yes.
No, I do remember we used to, that used to be like the threats. Like, you're going to get Ebola.
Yeah.
That was like what we were scared of in like early
2000s. It felt like before COVID, like we knew what a real plague was.
Yeah.
Like Ebola was like a big, like, oh my gosh, this is coming.
Well, I remember when there was like one nurse had Ebola. I was living in Sweden at the time. And I remember telling my husband that like, if that like keeps going, you don't visit me. Like, don't fly.
Don't come here.
Like, that's not good. I don't want you to get Ebola. And there was just like one nurse. And I was like, maybe you cancel your trip. And now we're like,
Oh,
whatever.
We were like, yeah, no mask.
COVID's over. Somebody had COVID in our office this week. Like, whatever.
I know. It's fine.
Well, so that was actually kind of funny reading it now, because I read it as a kid. And that, again, Ebola was like the craziest thing that had ever happened. And it was just like very remote at the time. And the first SARS, the 2003 SARS had happened. But again, it was like a very remote possibility. This isn't going to spread, blah, blah, blah. That was like the biggest change rereading it now was like my feeling about plague was very different. But it's otherwise,
I could see how this could happen.
Because I have feelings about how well it held up. Did you like
it? I honestly loved it.
I did.
I really liked it.
I did too.
I listened to the audiobook honestly because originally when we were gonna do this I had like a day to read it and I was like there's no way, so I was doing it on an audiobook on a Saturday doing my chores. But I really liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great storytelling for the most part. There wasn't really anything that was too, there's nothing like offensive or whatever for the most part. Like,
no,
it was good.
I think you're right about it being written for like by a man for boys, but I still don't think that prevented me from liking
No.
I loved this. It was when great. I was a kid, this was like one of my favorite books I'd ever read. And I honestly still think, one, it's definitely the root of my like love of romanticy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, two, I think it held up.
It held up. Oh, totally holds up.
It's so good.
And I'm surprised they haven't like optioned it into a movie. Like Disney Plus should have it.
So interesting.
It's so good.
I 100% agree. Also, I mean, it's a CGI monkey bear. How hard could this be?
Well, I just think it'd be a great like eight episode show, like limited series, but I liked it. I would give it like, you know, 10 monkey berry dongles things.
What?
What are the thing that the guy throws at him? Monkey nuts?
It's not getting better.
Remember they throw the thing. The monkeys throw the nuts at him.
These
nuts? I give it 6 D's nuts. No, but I just
out of
7. Like it was great.
Good.
It was great. Yeah. I think it had action.
Yes.
It was fast paced.
Yeah.
Twists, love, and the ladies were topless, which always made me giggle because I was like, "Of course they're topless."
Bubbies.
Which I just honestly like. I'm so glad. Okay, even though I don't love bras and it's like whatever.
Yeah.
I can't imagine going out and doing chores and like work topless.
My tits would be swinging.
Like,
sorry,
one nipple clip, and I'm like, absolutely not.
No, I would be buying
it would be tied up.
And I'd get the buff and I'd put it on me
something, because like there's no way I'm gonna be harvesting with the boobs out
100% or like trying to gather water and you'd be like,
gosh.
Oh god, get out of here,
and like bugs coming up. No thank you. I want to be covered. But yeah, I really liked it. What did you rate it out of?
I'm gonna say, you know, 10 out of 10 McGons. Because
you're about the love.
They fall in love.
Yeah.
There's like a bromance a little bit between like Kevin Sarbo and
Kevin Sarbo. Wow.
Yeah. Beastmaster. Kevin Sarbo and Mark. I think it's good. I think you're right. There's nothing here that was like offensive or like that didn't hold up the test of time.
Yeah.
We'll see if that is true into the future, but I really liked it.
I mean,
it made me like question, should have I read more like Gary Paulson when I was a kid or not? But also I don't give a I tried like once, and like half of Hatchet, I felt like at the beginning was just him sitting in a tree and I wasn't
I
about
really
it
like that.
Yeah.
I need more than that. But
yeah,
again, I really liked it. I love the cocktails again. Litty over here.
Litty titty.
I cannot drive. I mean, I'm at home.
Luckily,
so it's
we're
fine.
In your house.
But I also like want a hot and ready, and it's like not appropriate. So
do you want
have
me to
a salmon
send
patty? No, no, no.
Kevin?
We're not. No, no, no. We're not abusing that power. No, no. I'm fine. But I'm definitely going to have like a Costco roll with some butter after this.
All right. Let's go do it.
I'm so excited. Oh, but exciting news.
What?
Next month's book pick. Because I know everybody's on the edge.
Just
and I just want to tell you where my mental
trembling
state was during this podcast. Is that during 90% of this podcast, WAP was playing in my head.
WAP, WAP, WAP,
like,
WAP.
Like, really inappropriate.
Megan,
and
the
also,
stallion.
And also, like, the Nicki Minaj song. It's the, I don't know what
Super
the,
Freaky Girl?
No, it's the one where she's like, high heels on my toe tippies. Like,
oh,
it's like this club, F up the club song. I can't remember what it's called. Oh, I think it's FTC something. Anyway, that's as you were talking about Mark, all I'm hearing is like high heels on my tippies. And I'm like, please stop. Please stop. I'm like,
the party's
here. But the party's really going to be here next month because we are back to horse girl energy.
Yes.
We are reading a book.
Yes. From the Scott for you.
50s that my mom, I think it's from the 50s, 50s or 60s that my mom used to read to me as a kid called Aww. Casey the Utterly Impossible Horse.
And I'm an utterly impossible horse girl.
I know. Well, we have a lot of horse books this year. Like, if I haven't seen our reading list, it's on our website, boozybookreports.com. It's out on our TikTok and our Instagram at Boozy Book Report. And it is like, we have a lot of horse girl energy happening this year.
You know, when I was in Norway, I went to the art museum and they had a pile of horse manure as an art installation.
I think that you probably liked it.
I sent it to a lot of people.
Well, we're here for the horses.
Yeah.
That actually explains a lot too about your romance novel. I feel like horse girl energy and smutty book energy go hand in hand.
Yeah. Probably true. If you're enjoying Boozy Book Reports and would like to support the show, you can share episodes with your friends and family, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Boozy Book Reports, or leave us a positive review and rating. All of those things help us grow. Our theme music was created by The Finley Ghost. Check out their latest album now. Thank you and happy reading.